Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Is This Thing Working with James and Denise. Hey man, wow, 250 episodes. We told you we were going to be here. 250 episodes. Today we're celebrating this. Can you believe it? When Is This Thing Working started, it was just a mic and a few rough ideas that me and Denise had, and a lot of wondering if anybody out here was even going to actually listen to us or not. And now here we are, man, hundreds of hours later, countless conversations. We've had a few technical hiccups. Remember like the time we went to try to go live and we just really blew. I mean,
we tried for several weeks. I mean, yeah, you know, I fought with it. I called the internet. Well, I thought about maybe it was the computers, and we even had people coming out here and saying, hey, we're good with the bandwidth, but it just would not.
Yeah,
hold
it just would not hold it for us. And
yeah,
so it turned out
in the country. So, and it's just kind of sucked.
It turned out really rough.
That's why we don't actually go live, because we just don't have the bandwidth for it.
But here we go, man. Even though we've had that happen, this show has grown into something that I personally am incredibly proud of.
Oh, goodness, me too.
And we have people within our community that I know listen to us, and we have people that come up and talk to us about those things that they hear on our show, and it's been really great.
And they've been asking where we've been.
Yeah.
So guess what? We're back.
Yeah.
And we're gonna continue to be back.
Yeah, and like we said, we're incredibly proud of our show and what we've set out to do. And last year, man, we went knee deep in it. I mean, as far as we could go, and we helped do everything we could to help get President Trump elected, because we are about saving our country, man. And it's all thanks to you,
the listeners who stuck around, shared every episode, challenged ideas, and kept the whole thing alive. So today, we celebrate not just a number, but a community. Here's to 250 episodes of asking questions, speaking freely, and figuring out as we go. Is this thing working? I'd say it is. Yeah, it really is.
Yep, so let's keep going. But before we start this show, we want to state that these are our opinions and our assertions. If you agree with our opinions, please share the show. And hey, even if you don't agree, tell your friends and share our show.
Also, please stomp that like button and follow everywhere you see our name, Is This Thing Working? Subscribe wherever you see us, and our podcast is available for download on all platforms like Apple and Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And download that Rumble app while you're at it. It is free, but you can find us live and get notifications instantly when we go live at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us live on great streaming platforms like Rumble X and Getter. We also want to thank you for supporting our sponsors. They help keep the show free for you to enjoy. Let's get on with the show.
Here we go, 250. Let's go. Let's get it. We told you we were going to celebrate the 100th day of the Trump administration, and we were going to talk about the goods and the bads, man. And so we've compiled our little list of them. I know everybody has. We've been seeing it all day long, man. Everybody's got their own list. Well, here's ours if you're interested in it. And we both, when we sat down to do these lists, the very first thing that both of us said is almost instant. We both looked at each other and went, border.
Border.
Yes.
Border.
Man,
border.
Of all the things that you could say has been good about this administration is the fact that border encounters are down 94.2%. This is the best control of the border that we have had in decades, man.
And it is exciting. And this is the number one item that he campaigned on.
And
if
yes,
you will recall, it was a border, 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 guys. It was securing America.
Yes.
Putting America first. Making America safe.
That's exactly.
And that is exactly what he has done. And so we think this is the number one win. And we're not just the only people that do that. There is the border, which has changed dramatically, of course, you know, but in Starr County, Texas, there was a guy, Marcus Canales. He says, living under Trump feels like the Matrix. The border situation has flipped so fast, it's surreal. No more crowds of illegals, no more chaos. It's like night and day difference.
Yep. Good job, man.
Could you imagine living down at the border and having to do that? I mean, having to see, you know, this happening right, you know, in your community, just walk them right past everything.
Oh, I know, right?
You know? So Canales goes on to say that Trump gets an A+.
So here we go. Number two, Trump gets an A+. Border Patrol used to speed past overwhelmed. Now they cruise calmly. The flood has stopped. Canales says, I'd vote for him till doomsday. Sometimes you need someone who doesn't play cutesy. And hey, tell you what, another guy that I can give a big shout out to in Trump's administration that does not play cutesy, and that's Tom Homan. ICE is doing an awesome job.
They are.
Out of all these cabinets, they're awesome, man.
They are. And Tom Homan,
get them out of here.
He came walking on Fox News this morning with an apple, and they introduced him. He pulled that apple up to his mouth, and he bit it like he was going to bite the heads off a snake or something. You know what I mean? He is serious about his job of making America safe again, and I commend him.
Yeah, and not only that, they stopped encountering them at the border, the arrests at the border also tell the story that under Trump, from February to March of 2025, there were under 30,000 arrests at the border. That's not a dip, because in the month of February, March 2024, Biden had 250,000 arrests at the border. Trump had 30,000. That's not a dip. They said that's a shutdown. So this is good news, man. These are the good things we cheer. These are the wins that we cheer, man.
Yes.
There has been 10 executive orders on day one. National emergency was declared. We sent our troops down there. The catch and release ended. The remain in Mexico policy is back, and the cartels are labeled as terrorists. And so this is all good stuff, man.
Man, it is. So we're very, very excited about this. The border is one. And while we're talking about the border, I really have to say the arresting of, you know, the criminals from all the cartels, them making the cartels terrorists has been, you know,
all
one
the
of
gangs.
The,
yeah, Trinidad.
The best thing that could have happened.
Yep.
You know,
MS-13.
They have arrested them, and the Democrats are just fighting for the MS-13 gang members like crazy. We all know about this. You hear it on mainstream media. They won't shut up about it. But what I think is hilarious is they won't talk about what these people have actually done. The crimes that they have made.
Yes.
That they have done against the American people and how they're getting away with it. And they just let them out on the street.
And that's why I said I got so much respect and love for Tom Homan, because Tom Homan says it doesn't matter what they've done. The moment they cross the border unimpeded, then they're a criminal and they deserve to be arrested. And they deserve to be deported. I'm sorry. I just harp right back to it. But golly, man.
You know. But what is funny is the Trump administration has put out posters on the White House lawn where the media does their media takes.
Yeah.
So that the media is forced to cover these criminals.
Yeah.
And I watched all day long, you know, for content and stuff to see what's going on about all the media at the White House, because there was so much going on today that they put the bars on their media hits. You know how you have the crawlers at the bottom? They made them really fat, and they only show the journalist's head. So all you see in the clips is arrested, so that you don't see these faces. And I just laughed and laughed. I was like, look, they just can't. But what it does is it makes people go, what? Who's arrested?
Yeah.
You know, it really makes them more curious. So I think they're actually, you know, making it worse.
I think they're just trolling them. I think the White House is just trolling them and breaking them. And I think it's hilarious.
It is
to
hilarious.
Watch, man.
And this is one of my favorite things that's going on with the Trump administration. I know there's so many likes and people are listening and everything, but to me, it's the media. The fact that the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, has taken over and is allowing independent journalists and content creators to attend the White House press briefing. They got a special seat just for them.
Yeah. Well, and just like yesterday when DC Drano was on there and you kept going, look at Ducey's face. Look at Ducey's face. And he was bothered by that, man.
They hate it very much, man. If you're not in
because
their
they're not,
clique,
yeah. Well, and you they, know, because they won't ask the questions that they should.
No, they're told what to ask and what to stay away from. But see, with the Trump administration, you can ask anything.
Yeah.
So I want to let you hear Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt when she informed the media of this. This is my favorite clip so far of the Trump administration.
Millions of Americans, especially young people, have turned from traditional television outlets and newspapers to consume their news from podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent outlets. It's essential to our team that we share President Trump's message everywhere and adapt this White House to the new media landscape in 2025. To do this, I am excited to announce the following changes will be made to this historic James S. Brady briefing room, where Mr. Brady's legacy will endure. This White House believes strongly in the First Amendment, so it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration. We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House. And you can apply now on our new website, whitehouse.gov/newmedia. Starting today, this seat in the front of the room, which is usually occupied by the press secretary's staff, will be called the new media seat. My team will review the applications and give credentials to new media applicants who meet our criteria and pass United States Secret Service requirements to enter the White House complex. So in light of these announcements, our first questions for today's briefing will go to these new media members whose outlets, despite being some of the most viewed news websites in the country, have not been given seats in this room. And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United
States. Hey, you know, I was thinking about that while I was watching that. You know, I wonder how much is that Darren Beatty is involved in being able to get independent journalists pushed into there, man, like that, because that's awesome.
That is.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's the free speech is back.
Yeah.
You know, where we get to hear all voices and we get to debate.
Yeah.
This is another one of the things that I really love about the Trump administration is whether you like it or not, he throws it out there and lets you have the conversation. So many conversations are being talked about, are being had, you know, about the tariffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people were not educated about what went on with tariffs.
Right.
We are having this conversation. People are frightened. I understand. I am too. Everyone has 401ks.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you'll recall, COVID really dumped a lot of our 401ks. So we can't blame that on President Trump ever.
Right.
So I want to everyone to be fair and just sit back and let's have this conversation about tariffs. It's not over. We got another 100 days and another 100 days.
Right.
So, you know, it's not over with the tariffs. It's the one thing that's really scary for a lot of people. And yeah. I get that.
Well, and we all understand too that tariff deals take longer than just a couple of days or weeks or even a month. You know, tariff deals are pretty they're pretty complex and they take a while to be made. But the good thing is all of the amount of people that are coming in and the willingness to come in and make deals with President Trump. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, because he's changing trade.
And
he's changing the whole world trade. And you think there isn't going to be opposition to this?
Well, China is the opposition to this. And
because
the whole war centers around all of this.
All of these trade deals.
And I love this, man.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And it's going on, and it's a discussion. And President Trump is, you know, he makes the art of the deal. Now, is every deal going to be what we want? Is every deal going to be perfect?
But the thing is with tariffs, though, is it what it's going to do is encourage business owners that are over there to bring their manufacturing back here to the States, to bring the strength of our country back here to the States, create jobs here.
You know, and another thing that happened today, that Amazon came out, said they were going to put this notice on the tariffs and all that. And then Walmart comes out almost in the same instance and says, we are going to buy American. We are going to support small businesses. That is tariffs.
And I guess
I see as these big corporations pushing for smaller businesses to bring in their product. And, you know, because, you know, smaller businesses, Walmart ain't going to buy from me if I go and try to.
Walmart came in back 30 years ago and shut small business down.
If we went to our corner store, for instance, like Brookshire Brothers, if we went down there and we sold plants or flowers or anything like that, would them as a corporation be able to work with the local people? This is the thing that needs to change.
Yes.
In the corporations, so that local businesses can be involved in the community and in... You know, I mean, that's how I see that these tariffs are going to work really well.
Right. And like I said, when it brings manufacturing back, it's going to bring back to each community that brings back manufacturing. It's going to bring back some consistency and it's going to bring back some value, because now we're actually producing value and we're not being such a service driven economy. And it will build stability, and it will build communities, and it will strengthen communities, and it will make America stronger. And it's going to be a long process. It's not going to happen even in the first year, but we've got to start heading those directions, and I believe tariffs are the way to get there, too.
That goes back to lowering inflation and making America energy independent.
Yeah, I agree.
That is another thing that Trump, the deregulation.
Right.
You know, that will bring costs down. So we have to keep on. The next 100 days are going to be awesome.
Well, hey, you ever feel like you need a little extra support to unwind? Cornbread Hemp is here for you. They offer full spectrum CBD products that are USDA certified, organic, and are crafted to help you find your calm naturally. Cornbread Hemp uses only the highest quality hemp grown right here in the USA, with products made from the flower only to give you the best of what CBD has to offer. No stems nor leaves, just pure potent goodness. From their best-selling CBD oils to their gummies and lotions, Cornbread Hemp has something for everyone looking to de-stress and to recharge. And plus, all their products are lab tested for purity and transparency, so you know you're getting exactly what's on the label. If you're ready to add a little calm to your day, check out Cornbread Hemp and feel the difference for yourself. Your body and your mind deserve it.
Thank you. Click that link below to enjoy some Cornbread Hemp. Did you know that President Trump signed 142 executive orders?
Right.
He had 21 cabinet members confirmed, and DOGE, which is another one of my very favorite things he has done in the first 100 days, $160 billion in savings.
Right.
All for America. All to do what he said he was going to do.
Right.
Now, there are a few things that have bothered us, of course, because MAGA wants it all.
Yeah.
We want what we voted for. And one of the things is weaponization of government. We want it gone. We want it gone. And we want our government to work for us.
We want a one-tier justice system, which is what we should have always had.
Yeah, you know.
And,
so,
and with the arrest of these judges now, you see that they are showing that they're moving in the right directions, and I guess, like you say, to give them some credit. To me, the biggest disappointment so far in the 100 days has been the law enforcement, the Justice Department. You know, the fact that they come out and said, oh, day one, we're going to release the Epstein files to you, and you know that didn't happen, you know. And they continue to highlight that they're arresting gang members and we're removing those people, those dangerous people out of our country. That's a good thing. And we should count that as a win. That's what we want. But we also want the dirty members of Congress who have took kickbacks and bribes and laundered money. We want those people out too. We want those people the same as anybody else. The judges, we see that happening. That's a good sign. Let's keep going. And I think that there's been a whole lot more out there that the Justice Department and the FBI could have geared themselves toward other than standing along helping Tom Holman do his job. Tom Holman's taking care of ICE. You ain't got to worry about that.
I know. I know.
You know what I mean?
You know, and there is a lot going on. I will have to say my very favorite cabinet member so far is Pete Hegseth.
Right.
I am very impressed with him. He is doing everything he can for the military and making it powerful. And he's, lethal again. You know, he's getting our armed forces working. They're getting fit. You know, he came out with a 75% of reserves are overweight.
Yeah, he's going to change the culture and get it back to what it's supposed to be.
You know, he's going to try to, or he is. He signed an order to give every one of those that got kicked out over COVID their job back in their ranks and their back pay. So he comes out and he tells you what's going on. Another thing that I really like is President Trump, about once every 2 or 3 weeks, has a cabinet meeting, and it's live with every one of his cabinet members. And you get a detailed of what's going on in their departments. It's awesome to watch. And everyone should take a moment and watch it.
Yeah.
Because it's so transparent. And he's sitting there at the head of, in the middle of the table. And he goes in a circle.
Yeah.
And everyone tells their thing. It is really fun to watch. You know, you learn a lot about what's going on. So that's another one of my favorite things. Transparency, really, to me, in this administration, even though I think that some things are being hidden, I'm not 100% on board with everything being 100% transparent. I know the Epstein files is very controversial. And
release them.
We need them released.
Promises made, promises kept. And that's where I say my disappointment lies.
It's getting dangerous when one of the top people that were messed with by these people supposedly commit suicide. So something needs to give pretty quickly.
Couldn't agree more. You know what else needs to give? Man, not only can we see that, Texas has got their own issues right now. And this goes back to open borders have consequences. Mm-hmm. Open borders have consequences. And this has been going on for a long time. And Amy Meck,
from the Rare Foundation.
Yes, from the Rare Foundation, wrote this article. And the headline was, "Bombshell in Texas, retired police lieutenant warns, Epic City is in phase two of a Sharia enclave that's operated in Plano, Texas now for 12 years while the officials have stayed silent." Read it again, a Sharia law enclave.
It already exists.
It already exists. It's been there for 12 years, man.
Hey, did you know I was reading on Muslims here in America, or in Texas alone, 420,000
right?
Islams.
That's crazy.
Here in Texas.
That's crazy.
I had no idea. So yes, they're going to make their own cities.
And this is what we've learned is that retired Lieutenant Douglas Deaton exposed this disturbing reality that Epic's Sharia-controlled enclave in Plano isn't a future vision. It already exists for nearly 12 years. The East Plano Islamic Center, Epic, has operated a religiously exclusive neighborhood comprising 74 homes, a mosque, Islamic schools, a medical clinic, a Sharia-compliant financial services. Most alarming, it includes a fortress-like residence constructed directly beside the Plano Police Academy, strategically positioned to overlook restricted law enforcement areas and tactical assets. They haven't been hiding. They've been operating in plain sight, and no one has stopped them, man.
No one.
When this began as a modest community mosque, it's transformed itself into a 76,000 square acre foot Islamic complex, making it one of the largest in Texas. Its main prayer hall alone spans a 33,000 square feet and can accommodate over 3,200 worshipers. This sprawling campus includes an entire Islamic school, a multi-purpose hall, a youth indoctrination spaces, and Sharia-compliant classrooms, all designed to reinforce Islamic norms and community control. Here's what we're looking at, and here's what we're talking about, and here's why we always screamed, close our damn borders and quit letting these people in. Man, because these people will lie to you and come in here and do this.
They've been doing this?
Yes.
12 years.
And it is completely unconstitutional. It violates the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause, and it is an illegal law in this country. And in my opinion, if it was up to me right now, yes, that I'd be crawling all over that place, man. That place would be shutting down if it was me, man.
Yeah, well, they're making another one.
I know.
It's called Epic City.
Well, Epic City is who we were talking about there. Yeah, that was.
Well, they're fixing to. There was another one that's being that is. Was it another town? This one has been going on for 12 years, but now there's another one that is fixing to be built.
In Plano.
It is actually no that.
Okay, that's the same one.
That's the same one. Yeah, there's another one. But anyway, I wanted you to listen to this clip of Laura Loomer talking to Steve Bannon on War Room, and let her let you know, so she can let you know, what is really going on in the Texas House. Listen to this.
Islamophobia for a 10-year period ending in 2035, refer to the Committee on Culture, Recreation, and Tourism, HCR 86 by Hayes.
Laura Loomer, did I hear that correctly? In the Texas legislature, they're going to designate a day for anti-Islamophobia, ma'am?
That is correct, which is quite shocking given the fact that Texas has a so-called Republican state legislature. Speaker of the House, Dustin Burroughs, but I'm told by patriots in Texas that they're not too fond of him. They describe him as a go-along-to-get-along rhino who does the bidding of the Democrats. And so this resolution is called Texas House Resolution 85. It's called the Day to Combat Islamophobia. And it's not the only Islamophobia and Islamic-related resolution that is currently up for a committee vote in the Texas legislature. Steve, there's actually four different Islamic resolutions. And mind you, all of this Islamification of the state of Texas is happening while there is discussions about the national security threats posed by these Islamic compounds that are being funded. I mean, just massive amounts of funding. I'm, of course, referring to the Epic compound, which has now sparked national outcry. I saw that Senator John Cornyn actually referred them for a DOJ investigation. Ken Paxton, who's jumped in this race, the Attorney General of Texas, has also called for investigations into Epic, this Islamic compound, which many people are arguing is an effort to impose Sharia law and to have a Sharia compliance community in the state of Texas. I just want to read to you some of these resolutions so that you can see for yourself, you know, how far gone a lot of these rhino Republicans are in the state of Texas. You have House resolution recognizing March 15th as the day to combat Islamophobia for a 10-year period ending in 2035. March 15th, of course, is the anniversary of the 2019 Christchurch mosque shooting in New Zealand. So I don't know why we have to have a day of remembrance for something that took place in New Zealand. I don't know. There's also House resolution 34 recognizing the holy month of Ramadan. So these are real resolutions, you guys. House resolution 36 recognizing authorizing Eid al-Fitr. This actually passed in the House, okay? And then, shockingly, they want to have House Resolution 32 to recognize Pakistan Day. So I don't know why we have to have the House Resolution, Steve, to recognize Pakistan Day, where they openly practice Sharia law. And then, of course, like I said before, House Resolution 85.
So there you have it, folks. I mean, the House in Texas is being taken over.
Yeah. Think about Europe. And the whole time that she's talking about all this, I'm thinking about Europe and how they just overran Europe and completely ruined it. And here they are coming for us, man. Here they are coming for our country. And, you know, Texas is not the only place that it's happening, but there's a lot more here that, like you were just telling me, because I was kind of confused. I was thinking it that the article was really just about this one city that's been there for 12 years. No, there's a lot of more different plans, man. You know, and the term epic city is just not for that one exact place. That is the East Plano Islamic Center, but they branch out everywhere. And like you're talking about, another one is a proposed 402-acre
and that's the one
master
that,
plan, yeah, residential development near Josephine. So that was the one you're saying.
That's the one that Ken Paxton's investigating and Governor Abbott has put a halt on for now, that particular one.
Yeah, and it's about 40 minutes from Dallas. It's initiated, by Epic. And it claims to have over 1,000 homes, a mosque, also a K-12 faith-based school, community college, commercial spaces. The project managed by Community Capital Partners has sparked controversy with Texas Governor Abbott and others raising concern about potential ties to Sharia law. Again, like you said, Dale, leading to multiple investigations. Guys, I'm telling you, man, that goes, unless I'm wrong, somebody tell me, because in the way I interpret that goes completely against our First Amendment, that our establishment clause, that completely, it's illegal and it's unconstitutional, and they should be declared a terrorist.
Yes. And what's so crazy to me is that our Texas representatives are in on all of it. And,
yeah.
You know,
well, sure they are.
You know, we're asleep at the wheel is what I feel like.
Yes.
I feel like this is, I mean, like it's been going on for 12 years in Plano. And no one really kind of said anything about it.
This is why. John Cornyn's answer right here is why. Check this out.
Yeah, listen to him.
This is what he says about it.
Hi, I'm Texas Senator John Cornyn. I want to take a moment to say, I know this year's Ramadan will be different from those before, and that's why it's important to keep the spirit of hope and community alive. I wish you all a good fast and that you and your friends and families stay safe during this challenging time. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Can you believe this? Yeah.
Yes. And I want to take this time before we close the show today to really give kudos on X to Amy Meck, who has pulled all this information together. You can follow her on X at Amy Meck, and that's M-E-K, A-M-Y-M-E-K. And follow her. She is on top of everything that's going on with this right here. And at this time, as we're speaking, she is so excited that we have made it happen. Everyone's been spreading the word. Because of our voices and our courage, we have unwavering stand for truth. The tide is turning. Today, Texas Representative Jared Patterson filed House Resolution 971 to officially declare CARE, an organization tied to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, who is involved in Epic City and getting the capital for Epic City, is unwelcome at the Texas Capitol. And this resolution is historic. If this it documents CARE's terror-linked leadership, their unindicted co-conspirator status in the Holy Land Foundation trial and the FBI suspension of all contact with them due to their Hamas ties. This is so important, folks. And she put out an alert. She wants an action alert. Please contact your senators, contact your House representatives, and make your voices heard that we want them to support and get behind House Resolution 971.
Exactly. And just like the best 3 points that she brought out right here. This happened because you spoke out. This happened because you exposed the truth. This happened because you refused to be intimidated. Hey, man, be informed, be engaged. Is this thing working?
Rise up.